Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness, a college education, a good job, a healthy family, respect for your neighbors, retirement, happiness. Repeat after me to attain your goals. Happiness.
Ignorance.
A college education.
Mental programming.
A good job.
Slavery.
A healthy family.
Corporate control.
Respect for your neighbors.
Governmental abuses.
Retirement.
Obey.
Happiness.
You are now listening to the world famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am. Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am. Sofa King.
Faster.
I am.
No, no, not so fast.
So.
Loses meaning.
I am. Sofa King.
With retard. You say funny things.
Hello once again, and welcome back to another edition of the Sofa King Podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm your host, Brad Taylor. We're here with Dave Moten and Brent Van... I don't know how to say your last name.
It's Brent motherfucking Van Tassel. It flows better if you just say it that way.
Brent motherfucking Van Poozle.
Yeah,
Van Trussel. I don't know how to say it.
I like Van Poozle.
Van Poozle?
Yeah. Like a furry, it's like a little puffy furry vampire.
I just go with the flow. Like fighting's worse, so yeah. I just, whatever you're gonna call me, I just gotta go with it. Yeah. Van fuck fuck, whatever it is. Yeah,
Mr. Van fuck fuck. What is your take on today's episode?
You're forced swearing.
Mm. Yeah, that does sound pretty forced.
Fuck. Yeah. Well, fuck you guys.
Dane forced. That's my friend.
I have normal vocabulary.
Is that one?
Which one? No, I'm drinking Josh Haney's urine.
That's fair because we're supposed to be trying Suntory whiskey from Josh Haney as well.
Well, this one's good.
Yeah.
I'm going to drink the rest of this one.
Whew.
And then I'll drink that one. Hold on a second.
Jesus.
Please pause for whiskey intermission.
Rough.
And Brad hasn't eaten since 10 a.m. apparently. I had a protein shake today at somewhere around that time. Or even.
That's good.
Dave, I hope you're ready for dick jokes to bounce off your ears while you drop nibbly bits of information.
Let the forced swearing begin.
So
may the forced swearing be with me.
We're going to try Suntory Whiskey Toki, which I've had before and I'm a big fan of, but these guys haven't, and Josh Haney sent it to us.
Looks like pee in a bottle, honestly, but I know that it's supposed to be good.
I'm going to wait to try it.
Okay. You just sealed that back up, huh?
Well, I just drank like half a glass of the Burnside.
Nope. It's really good.
Really good.
Yeah. Suntory is always good.
Yeah.
But
it's
caramely.
And for the first time, I'm going to say it is not spicy.
Really not.
Is it a rye? It's not rye?
It's not spicy.
That's
it's
Japanese whiskey.
Kind of caramely.
No e.
It's very good.
There's no E in that whiskey. What do we do about it?
Drink it.
At one point, I knew what that meant. I think it's just Japanese people don't put E in whiskey. Sometimes it's spelled different.
There's two ways to spell it.
Do they put P in whiskey?
It's like
they
disc.
Might. Tastes delicious. It's all the rice.
So we have a strange... Oh, do you want to do the hot sack?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, let's do the hot sack.
Hot sack first.
So we had a difficult hot sack this week. We were trying to choose a winner, and we were like, well, we could put the names in a hat because there was a few of them. But then I was like, you know what? Fuck that. This is our show. We made up this contest, not you guys.
That's right.
And we can do what we want. So we have three winners, actually.
And we would have probably had four because one person shared some really awesome ones, or she posted awesome ones, but she didn't share them.
Yep.
And that's one of the rules is you have to post and you have to share.
Yep. Yeah. Read the rules.
I dug in. I logged in on desktop to actually see who shared. So, the first winner is Amanda Andrews, which she's giddy somewhere. She posted a bottle of Yucateco. Actually, I should say what the contest was, I guess. Not everyone knows. It's on Facebook. I know some people hate Facebook, but
me.
Each week we post we post an El Yucateco Hot Sack Challenge. And this week it was a bottle of Yucateco and two complimentary items. So it was like, could be delicious.
In a shopping cart.
Yeah, in your shopping cart. Right. Most people did Amazon shopping carts, which is fine. I realize people are not going to drive to the grocery store. So we accepted that. But she put a bottle of El Yucateco, a machete, and a stamp collection that you could buy, which was, it's a serial killer inside joke here, but yeah, it made Brad laugh pretty yes hard. So so she is our first Teco winner for
yeah
the week.
That was funny.
Then we did Steve Smith. He actually went to the store, which I wasn't as impressed with it because it was kind of a generic thing, but Brad liked the fact that he was actually at the yeah fucking store. Yeah. And it looked like he had to take a bottle of Yucateco into like
yeah,
a Harbor Freight.
Yeah, I believe he did, yeah.
So he carried it into a store that didn't sell Teco. Like
could have been Walmart.
He pocket Teco.
Could have been Walmart.
I don't know. That machete looks like a Harbor Freight thing.
Maybe. Walmart shit looks like Harbor Freight too. It's all China.
It might be. So he bought a bottle. I think he might have bought that stuff. He's going to kill someone. So
maybe.
He had rope, a machete, once again, and a bottle of Teco. It's another playoff serial killer. So we're going to send Steve Smith something.
Didn't he say it was...
He said, get in the fucking van and you'll soon be my nipple belt or something
right,
like
that's
that.
That's correct. That was part of
that
the
that was part of the... Yeah. And then this person put four things in their cart, but he won with only consideration of three, and the fourth was just gravy. So he won without counting the fourth item. It was the Nicolas Cage movie pack. And so he had, which they were laughing at me, Brad and Dave, because once I saw this,
he got so stoked.
Yeah. He's like, six movie Nicolas Cage pack. I got to buy that right now.
It's only $10.99.
Yeah.
Are they out of their mind?
It's pretty good.
Yeah. So.
And they're all on one disc too. Yeah, that's what's crazy. How do all his movies fit on one disc?
I don't know. How could so much greatness fit on one
disc? How could that much quality fit on one disc? And I like that you were that excited having never even seen what the movies were.
Oh, I don't care because the worse the
better.
It
doesn't matter.
I might only make it like 20 minutes into one and have to uncomfortably stop. I can't even watch it, but I'm a fan.
I think
it's a weird thing.
I really like, I mean, honestly, I'm being honest here. I like Nicolas Cage. It's like the Keanu Reeves thing. Like some people really like Keanu Reeves. And some people hate him, right? I really like Nicolas Cage. He does a lot. He's had a lot of decent movies, but that fucking Knights movie, the one where he's the knight, I couldn't watch it. That's the first Nicolas Cage movie I couldn't watch.
It's a weird relationship. I love, like, it's like...
You like watching him fail.
I like
it's
watching
like Tiger Woods.
The awkwardness of it.
But it's like Tiger Woods after his wife threw the golf club through his back window of his SUV.
Yeah.
And then chasing him down the street. Yeah, and then the tournament right after that. It was amazing.
So like, Steve Salvo had the Nicolas Cage six-pack for $10.99, some popcorn, and some Teco.
Uncle Jerry's popcorn. Was it Uncle Jerry's?
He said he had his own popcorn, so his girlfriend couldn't pull a fast one and give him a kiss
to
the hot dicks.
I don't think so. I think he had it in there so he could give it to his boyfriend.
Yeah, he was hearkening the hot dicks.
Yeah.
But the fourth item was a custom 20x30 Nicolas Cage pillowcase, which, like... No homo, but totally some homo. And I might have to get
that. Well,
that
is the beauty of
I didn't know that existed.
It's the beauty of doing it on Amazon because you're not going to find that awesomeness at a regular grocery store.
No,
And what else did you find, Brent? What else did you find?
I don't know what
you wanted to buy.
I don't know what.
The Top Ramen sweatshirt.
Oh, fuck, yeah. They have like fucking Top Ramen
you
fucking
seen the noodle
zip-up hoodies,
you seen the Top Ramen noodle wrap, right?
No.
I thought they made it for that video, but they had a legit like hoodie, zip-up hoodie that's
Top
Ramen.
Ramen package.
It was like beef,
a top
though. I got to get the Oriental.
No, it was chicken. It was chicken.
No, that one was beef.
That one is beef? Well, they got chicken. Beef.
I know the kid wears chicken in the video. Yeah. That was a beef jacket.
I'm sure you could get Oriental.
I don't think they make Oriental, though.
I'm sure they do.
I don't think I could really pull that off, though. I would wear it around the house. Just be happy when I walk past the mirror and shit.
Just own it. Just own it. I think you just have
wear
to own
it. Wear it to bed, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the Teco winners. But then one of our fans actually had come by the studio last week and gave us a gift, and we have not peeked. I know that there's liquid in here. So
did it come in that box?
This is the box that arrived.
Because it's kind of ate up and sketchy.
Yeah.
It's like a fucking hobo pillow.
That's like the, what's his name? Fucking Billy Bad Santa. Like he dropped off Billy Bob Thornton dropped off our Christmas present. That shit looks fucking beat up.
I'm opening.
Is that a bottle of Sprite?
It's a bottle of some sort. I mean, obviously it's probably
it's alcohol. In bubble wrap.
Jesus Christ.
Damn. What is this?
Enchilada.
Shit. It's metal, dude. The classic lady Scottish barley. Let's see.
Anything that comes in a fine tube is probably good.
Whoa.
It's like Tiffany. It's like Tiffany blue.
Weird. Yeah.
It's like another twist cap.
Irish whiskey. Well, it has to go in queue, but
we'll drink it on the next episode.
Okay.
Just cause we got it.
Damn,
today.
Just that can is, I mean, this
unpeated. Oh, it's going to be a smoky one.
All right. And then there's this. I have a feeling it's going to be like ugly sweater. There's a picture frame holder. This thing is large.
This is legit.
Yeah. I'm making a fucking mess.
It's like an 11 by 14. What is that? Like stalker pictures of us.
Yeah.
Why is there blinds?
It's me in my pajamas.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like a custom drawing that they did. What is going on?
That's cool.
What is happening here?
Oh, it lights up. Nice. Turn on, that's a brand.
It's I was like, this is some shit I made.
That's legit.
That's cool.
Did she make that? She had to have made that, right?
Yeah. It's a Sofa King.
And she put the light on the back. That is a Brent-esque taco fucking.
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
That's really badass. Cool.
So it's a picture frame with a picture of a UFO flying through the sky with an SK logo on it, and it lights up.
It actually lights up, and I think there's different patterns. Cool. That's legit. I'm half jealous. This is much better quality than I used to give away at tacos.
Yeah,
and I suspect this is probably really good whiskey. Brie Kladich.
Yeah, we can't pronounce it. But
fuck no, we can't.
It's gonna go a long way with this episode.
So thank you to people who posted. Thank you to Shauna Fowler for the awesome gift, even though it came packed in a hobo pillow. the innards were quality.
Yeah,
a hobo pillow.
So today's topic. This is one that was highly voted for quite a while on our unofficial fan page, and it is the Dyatlov Pass. And I knew nothing about it. Like, this was one I went into blind.
I had no idea either.
When I saw it float to the surface, I kind of looked into it. I was like, oh, people went missing in Russia. Like, that's called Tuesday. Like, I'm not sure that's worthy of an episode. But then looking into it, it's kind of fucked up. Like, it turned out being more mysterious and fucked up than I thought it was going to be mysterious and fucked up.
Yeah, like early in the week when we were considering it, I just watched like some little quick 2-minute videos, and it was like, and her tongue was missing and their eye sockets were gouged out and there was no eyeballs in the hole. And I was like, what the fuck? And there's like Yeti videos and UFOs. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
It's a strange one. The reason I like this case is because, as we'll discuss, it's not solved, but the bodies were found in three clusters, and each cluster tends to be killed similarly to the others in that cluster, but in no way similar to the other people. Like, it's kind of weird in that, like, if all of them were dead the same exact way, that would be less mysterious.
But right.
Each cluster was totally differently killed.
Well, it's like when I'm killing people, I don't like to kill them the same way each time. It's got to be different.
Yeah, it's like a two
for here. Boring, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I crush these two, and I don't want to do that to these ones.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
Serial crusher.
But, and there's weirdness about the different deaths, and it's a strange one. And the other thing is, it's like, the explanations, whether they're fairly sane and mundane and scientific or pretty outlandish, only really apply to one of the three groups at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, this explanation makes a lot of sense, but not for those other two groups. It's kind of, it's fucking strange. It's a strange one. So the story is, in the Ural Mountains of Russia, in February of 1959, a group of originally 10 people go on this crazy ass hike, right? So it's supposed to be like,
hey guys, let's go hike up this mountain that's fucking freezing.
Like, hike ski.
Towards dead mountain. No, they start with fucking train, then bus, then truck, then horse and sleigh to eventually be on foot and skis.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound fun at all.
What they call like a class 3, super dangerous, you know, but all of them were very experienced hikers and skiers. And I guess that's just what you do if you're adrenaline junkie or whatever.
Yeah. That's why Russians are so tough.
So they ended up in Dead Mountain. Or Mountain of the Dead.
Yeah,
then they were trying to get to a mountain called Do Not Enter. Like, that was the translation, or Do Not Come Here.
Nice. Well, that's the, okay. Those are two fucking mistakes. Yeah. Like, I want to start with like Mount Taco Bell and end with like Mount Posturpedic.
Yeah. Mount Tandu. Yeah.
Fuck that. Man.
Yeah, we're going to Mount Tandu. Yeah, that sounds good.
Tickles your innards.
Yep. Mount Fondue, man.
So yeah, they go forward, and the whole thing gets pretty crazy. Yeah, but the mountain that they start on, so they
10 people set out. One guy
10 people set out, and the guy who turned back. So there were 8 men and 2 women initially.
Can we just call him Pussy? Like,
let's call him Yuri with every other man in Russia.
The reason I'm not gonna call him a pussy is because he was fucking 78.
Oh, that guy was 78.
No, he wasn't.
Yes. No. Yeah, no, the guy who turned back was 78.
No, he died in 2013.
Then he died at old as fuck.
I think he died at 78. Man, this is one star review.
Yeah, he's not 78 because no. I saw the last pictures like on a documentary. It was like, this is the last time he ever saw his friends.
Yeah, and he was young. He was 23. Dude.
Maybe
yeah.
he died when he was 70.
I think so.
Because the site that I looked at, everyone was aged between 21 and 23 years old. Brad's one of them was 38, and then one of them was like 70 something.
It's yeah, your, wrong. It's 75. One of them was 32.
His name is Yuri Eden for the record. So, or Yuri Uden.
Uden. Yeah.
Uden. Yeah, if that helps you look it up.
Yeah.
Brad's our genie.
I'll look
today.
Right now. Keep going, okay. Dave.
So,
right now we have one star review. I'm going to try and bump that up to, two or three.
Yeah. So they head to this place, Kolat Siakal, which means dead mountain. And when I looked at it, like the dead mountain translation isn't as scary as it could be because it's actually. It, like dead mountain means dead as in there's no game there.
Right.
Like it's so cold and hostile that hunters don't go there because there's nothing there to
eat. Plus, you can't be picking up bitches and stuff.
Or people die there all the time.
Or people die there all the time, yeah.
So Yuri Uden was born in July 19th, 1937, and he died April 27th. 2013. He was 75 when he died.
Okay. Yeah.
So he was like 23 years old.
Well, that's a fucked up website then. Oh, it must have just been listing all of the ages
that they died.
Right. It's just that most of them died when they were 21.
Yeah. Right.
Because that was when they were on this thing.
Yeah. Yeah. 23, 21, 20, 23, 24, 22, 23, 23, 38.
Yep.
And then
75.
Yeah. He lasted until 75 because he was pussy.
Okay. That makes sense. So then he was a pussy.
Yeah.
But no, so he got sick, right? So they
said he had like strep throat or a viral infection of some sort. So he had to turn
eaten some bad raccoon.
And I'm sure he had the fucking common sense to be like, hey, I'm sick. If I go any further, I'm going to fucking die.
Yeah. I think he got the clap in his mouth from one of the girls.
I think that might have happened.
That was what happened.
Common.
Yeah.
So they arrived at a city called Ivdel, by train. Then they end up traveling through, like you said, they go by car, they go by horseback. It's fucking planes, trains, and automobiles. Mm-hmm. That's not a pillow. Like the whole scenario, somebody got that.
I used to have a 8 foot by like 3 foot planes, trains, and automobiles poster in my fucking bedroom when I was little. Because my parents were friends with the people that owned the fucking movie store. And they would just give me all the old movie shit and I had it all over my room. It was cool.
I've never even seen that movie.
You've never seen that movie?
No,
that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yuri Uden turns back because he's sick. And when he leaves, the main guy who is
Igor.
Igor Dyatlov, however you say his name, Dyatlov tells him, like, on the 12th of February, thereabouts, we should get to the other side of fucking don't come around here, fucking pass.
Yeah. you're not welcome here. Like,
fuck off
mountain.
And die, mountain.
Yeah.
But
fuck
they,
off and die, mountain.
They say, so on the 12th or so, we should get there. I'll send you a telegraph to let you know we're here so you know we're safe.
Where are they telegraphing from?
That's what I was trying to figure out. What wire is running from where?
Yeah.
Like,
who?
Yeah, like, they started to get worried when they hadn't heard anything. I was like, how are they going to hear anything?
Yeah.
They're going to fucking, did they take a pigeon in their backpack?
Yeah, Blizzardous Mountain. Like,
it was probably just the main city on the other side. I'm sure they had a telegraph line stretched somewhere that would have made its way back to this guy. You know, I mean,
props to the fucking phone company or whoever the fuck is doing that. These guys couldn't even hike across it. Someone took a wire.
Oh, I doubt it went across the mountain. It was probably a telegraph line that went completely around the mountain and would just fucking zip to whatever
when
city you needed.
Or most Russians have
ESP.
Telepathy.
Yeah.
ESP. Yeah. They pick up radio signals on their braces. So at this point they end up,
Dave, that's really racist.
Jesus.
He's got nothing to do with it. Continue.
They end up setting up a camp. So they set up their base camp on the, you know, fucking dead mountain.
A couple hundred meters from the summit, too. Like,
yeah.
And they didn't shelter, like, in the forest.
Well,
they said it was an odd place to set up.
Well, they didn't want to take the time because the sun was setting.
Right.
So they were actually just setting up camp kind of in the open. They could have went, the forest was a kilometer away, so about a mile.
Yeah.
And instead of setting up there where there was kind of some shelter, they set up in the middle of kind of a ditch or like a ravine. in the snow.
I like the word crevasse.
Crevasse. Yeah, that's nice. Yeah. And a snow-ridden river. I like to think of it. Because the sun was setting.
I like to picture my river snow-ridden, yeah. Man.
Mm-hmm. I like my baby river.
frankincense. We have decent accounts up until this point because people on the trail were keeping a diary.
Let's talk about, do you have anything about the diaries? Like the beginning of the diary when they took off?
I don't have a ton. I just know that was where a lot of the details come from.
I thought it was, they kept the diaries and they had pictures.
They found their photos.
I thought it was really weird. Some of the writings in the diary, like in the very beginning, they're like, we're going to set off to do this trek and try and see what we can find.
I wonder if anything different will happen this time.
Yeah, like some weird. I'm like, what do you mean different?
Everything went smooth this time.
Yeah, what the fuck do you mean?
What happened last time?
the last recorded quote in someone's journal was, "It is difficult to imagine such a comfort on the ridge with shrill howling winds and hundreds of kilometers away from human settlements." That was weird. You said human settlements.
Yeah.
I feel like they're aliens, man.
Maybe.
Yeah, man. There's something going on there, man.
Weird. Just to tell you how fucking rough the trails were, on February 1st, they set out and their estimate was they traveled 2.5 miles that day.
Yeah.
Like an all fucking day trek, you got 2.5 miles. That's some shitty snow.
And really short legs.
And they have nothing but nice shit to say in their journal. Like, that does not sound fun. Fucking Russians are crazy.
So they set up their camp about 5 p.m. They said, according to the diary, that they ate dinner sometime around 6 or 7 based on when the sun was going down. And then one of the last accounts there was that two people were stepping outside of the tents to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Be outside every chance you get.
And
man.
It was the two of them. They think that the two people that they're talking to were a guy named Semen Zolterev and Nikolai Thibault Brignol, who has like a French last name, because these are the only two that were found dead in full snow gear.
Yeah.
So a lot of people think it makes sense that if two people were going outside to go to the bathroom, it was these two. They didn't come back before whatever the fuck happened. And they were the only two that were found dead in their cold weather gear because they might have gone out and just not come back from the bathroom.
It's different from my account, but we'll continue and see.
What was your account?
Well, it'll play out once we get to the,
So, and then again, there were photographs of them. And there's, you know, you see a couple, like a photograph of the main guy, and he's like, you know, it's just cold as balls because it's like the photograph in full sunlight, and his beard is just covered in frost.
Yeah.
And it's like, and that's in sunlight.
I mean, talking on the pictures, like from what I could find, there were no weird pictures.
Well,
like,
there's a picture of one of the
final
guys.
Picture was weird.
Well, yeah.
There's that, but there's a picture of a guy and his jacket's fucking toast, like burnt off.
Yeah,
it's burnt. Like hanging off and like clearly like caught on fire and put out, and he's smiling with his jacket. It's completely.
I just saw the shoulder was kind of
singed. The whole thing. It's burnt off. No, it is.
It wasn't bad.
I'll find the picture.
I just looked at it.
Okay,
and I mean, again, I can pretty easily rule out burning. I mean, you're obviously lighting fires a fucking lot to keep frostbite off, and you're wearing cotton or wool.
So, yeah, and let's talk about that too. You have all that gear on, plus you have the tent. It's kind of a long, just, you know, old school looking tent. Mm-hmm. It's not like a new tent, you know.
No, it's just an old fabric, just World War II looking.
Yeah, tent. Fucking just a triangle.
Yeah.
And the Igor had actually made some custom stovepipe, basically, that came along the top of the tent, out the top.
You don't think that guy's jacket's burned the fuck off?
No, it's just hanging there.
It's okay.
It's just a little bit.
Fuck off. That thing is shredded.
No, that's good. It's just the nylon on the outside.
Don't go camping with Brad.
That was pre-nylon, my friend.
He's got no fucking sympathy for you.
But again, logically, his jacket was soaking wet. He left it next to the fire. Yeah. It dried out. It caught on fire. He put it on the next morning.
Well, and this obviously happened before.
Yeah.
But
he's not burned. He's like
the stovepipe they had, basically, because if you have a fire inside of a tent, obviously, where's the smoke going to go?
Yeah, you're Dunsky.
So they have an exhaust port, like basically a stovepipe that comes out the top of the tent, goes outside and goes up into the sky, probably like a foot and a half. So that's their out for, you know, the smoke, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what they were living in. So basically they had a fire inside of the tent mm-hmm. with a stovepipe. I guess the stove was custom made. Like it wasn't anything you could buy. Igor had made it So who knows, you know, that's what they were looking at. And like you said, there was because some of the stuff at the end of the story, the burns and stuff come into play. Like, oh, they were burnt. Some of them were burnt and some of this, that, well, yeah, there's pictures of them beforehand.
Cooking in a tent.
Yeah, they were already burnt. Yeah. So, and the thing with,
I got burnt in the house, just cooking a hot pot,
cuts,
roof of my mouth.
Yeah. Cuts, scrapes, bruises, all that stuff. Well, yeah, you're fucking hiking in the mountains. You're
fucking going 2 miles a day on skis through the woods. You're going to be cut.
You're going to be cut up. Your knuckles are going to be fucked up. You know,
so a lot of the injuries that you see in the autopsy reports are completely consistent with what they just would have been going through. And even the people who did the autopsies, even the Soviet investigators that were looking at it, were like, these injuries are completely consistent with what they were doing, but these injuries are what the fuck, you know? So we have both categories there.
So no telegraph. And then finally they go looking for him.
Yeah. So on February,
we didn't talk about the picture. So I said they were pretty normal up to, like you said, the last one.
Right.
It was a very blurred picture and it had lights.
Yeah. It was at night and there were lights in it, or it was a weird overexposure.
A picture of the overexposure, or they were taking a picture of the fire and
nothing
blurry.
Nothing in that picture. Yeah. I think nothing of that.
I don't either. But people make a big deal out of it that it was a UFO because there was UFO sightings.
Dude, it was during the Cold War period out in the middle of fucking nowhere. Mm-hmm. It could have been lots of things. Yeah. It could have been a rocket. It could have been a fucking a flare. It could have been anything. Something. Yeah. There's lots of reasonable explanations for what it could have been.
There were a ton of reasonable explanations, but
one big explanation is that Russian Yeti's balls glow.
Yes,
that's true.
So odds are it was glowing Russian Yeti balls, swinging like Dangerfields outside of the tent.
There's some party games I've played that involve that, man, but I don't want to talk about too much. You know,
but I mean, there are a lot of things. This picture is taken by ufologists and stuff and just blown completely out of proportion.
Right.
Like oh my God, the aliens are here and here's proof. And you're like, come on guys. Like,
it's the most blurry, smudgy picture.
It's like the blurry picture of Bigfoot, but of a UFO. Right. Like, you're just like, is that a UFO?
He had pants on and shit.
Yeah. And I mean, most people can agree that they took a picture at night of something that was bright.
Yeah.
But again, it could have been fucking anything.
Could have been the lantern, moon. The fucking embers from the cigar they were smoking. Yeah.
I mean, glowing Yeti balls, anything.
Exactly. Yes. Anything. Those are popular.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can warm
They're
your
like Chinese lanterns.
It was the wrong spectrum too, because there's a more of a blue hue.
Yeah, they are. They're like
I've seen some yellowish.
Nah,
That one was sick.
I've seen yellow ones up close.
That one was sick. They need antibiotics.
Depends on the age.
Is it the yellow?
Yeah.
Fuck, that's what was wrong with me.
Depends on the amount of circulation at the time, man. Yeah. It's cold outside. Even Yetis have
blue. That's true. Okay.
Yetis have shrinkage too, man.
I get it. Should be blue.
So on February.
Yellow is problems. You got to get to the doctor.
February 20th, the guy who turned back, finally realizes, and he's giving him like a big leeway because he knows like
a couple days
leeway, whatever. Yeah. So on the 20th, he finally reports it to people and says, look, they were supposed to get in touch with me on the 12th. Did they show up in town?
Yeah.
He's looking into it. Nobody's seen him, you know, come back. You know, they never, they should be coming around the mountain when she comes, but they never did. So she came,
but they didn't come around the mountain.
That's right.
There's fucking nine dudes seven dudes and two girls
at this point. Yeah. So on February 26th or February 20th, they get alerted. So searchers finally start to head up, and keep in mind, you're in fucking Siberia in the frozen ass mountains in February.
Yeah. And the experienced people just fucking disappeared. Now searchers have to go do the same trek.
And even the search party, cause all of them, well, the bulk of them, all of them, except for the 38-year-old were students from the Ural Polytechnic Institute.
What was that guy doing there? Like that was the weirdest
part
thing.
Of the weirdness later on. Like what he was doing there is kind of weird.
Look at Richard Branson. Those guys are adventurers. They fucking, you know, they're upper echelon. They get in a hot air balloon and try to do crazy shit.
Yeah.
That's what they
do. But that other guy feeds a lot of theories of what might have happened, the 38-year-old. They send a search party that's basically students and professors from the school, and they all head up there. And on the 26th, they find the abandoned campsite.
Yeah.
Right.
And this is where shit starts.
And there's a photo of
it. Yeah, there's a photo of it. A student named Mikhail Sherevin who found the tent said, quote, the tent was half torn down and covered with snow. It was empty and all the group's belongings and shoes had been left behind.
In an organized fashion, too. It looked like their shit was still in order most part.
And from all evidence on the scene, it looked like the tent was cut open from the inside and that everyone bailed from the inside of the tent.
Yeah.
Quickly, like,
but then
left all their shit in fucking negative 20 something degree weather.
That was pre zipper. I bet that shit was all laced up.
Yeah. So
they probably the ends were laced up. It'd be the ends. So they cut out of the tent. And then, but once they got outside,
like
everything was
out.
Calm. There was no scuffling of foot. Mm-hmm. This is where it got kind of weird for me because there's an avalanche theory, you know, that an avalanche came, but then all their footprints are still there.
Right.
Right.
But that's why I was saying before, me and you were talking earlier, a big clod of snow or something could have hit the tent. Like, so there's a couple theories.
It was like 20 something days later. It just, the tent collapsed.
You don't think aliens got them either, but I'm just saying like, no, but the print,
I think aliens,
this is the thing you say, you say that, you know, that they had been snowed on. Well, how come their footprints were still there?
Right.
Right.
So,
the big clod of snow presents problems to me because if you're like an experienced fucking Siberian hiker and a big clod of snow hit your tent, I don't think you're going to cut your way out of the tent.
If there's a fire inside that tent.
But there was no evidence of a fire in the tent. Like the tent wasn't burned.
I don't know.
So anyway, it gets weird. So there's sets of footprints leading out of the tent, and the footprints indicated that they were wearing either socks or barefoot. None of them seems to have been wearing their shoes.
This is the thing, like the whole, it's been how many days and snow hasn't covered up those tracks yet.
It hasn't been snowing though. I mean, if there wasn't,
it could be up to your knees and shit. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that tent's just going to get mildly covered and not fill those holes. The real question is, how do you find Will Smith in the snow?
I don't know. He's white.
You look for fresh prints.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, man. Somebody somewhere's laughing, man. You guys thought that was going to be a black joke.
I did indeed.
I honestly wish it was. I'm going to drink the rest of this bottle.
Pour me some more, too.
Actually, sir. Give me this Suntory.
What do you want?
You
want
to try the Toki?
Yeah, I got to try the Toki.
So then they start to uncover the bodies, right? So the first group that they find are Yuri, not going to work here anymore, and Yuri also not going to work here anymore. They're shoeless. They're dressed only in their underwear, and they're under a tree.
Yep.
Okay. So the interesting parts about this grouping of these two dead bodies.
Go over all of them.
And it's Krivanashenko. It's not that hard. Just come on. Just go for it, dude.
What's the other one?
Dorovshenko. They're both named Yuri, and then they both have crazy Shinko last names.
That's right. So go over what? Like, talk about...
Well, go over each grouping before we go over the weird shit on them. So the first two...
So the first two are dead in their underwear.
Next to a cedar tree.
Next to a cedar
tree. With a fire that's gone out.
We can talk about all the details.
The cedar tree was burned.
They're wearing fucking nothing, though. Yeah. They're wearing underwear. A thin shirt.
Yep.
And socks. That's
makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, they were in their jammies when whatever went down, went down.
The second group was found the next day, February 27th, and it was Igor Dyatlov and Zenaida Kolomgora. And then they didn't find him until March 5th, but in the same grouping was Rasteem Slobodin, and they were all closer to the cedar groves, closer to the wood line, and they were all clustered together as well. They didn't make it to the woods.
That was the next three, you said?
That was the next three.
Yeah, and they were slightly better dressed, but barely. Yeah,
they were still better dressed, but barely. And then the final group, they didn't find until May. So on, and you see, like, if you're a brave sort and you want to see things like that, you can see the autopsy pictures online of their dead bodies. Mm-hmm. And the people from group one and group two that were discovered shortly thereafter, they're pretty fresh. They look recently dead, etc. But the ones that were discovered in May are really desiccated and fucking crypt keeper.
Yeah, they had like gray hair.
Yeah, it was.
They were very scully and black. Yeah, they were, you know, which a lot of people were saying like, oh, that's crazy. Like they aged significantly. And I'm like, that's exposure. Like that's, they were fucking in snow for a couple months.
Right.
It's like freezer burn ground beef.
Yeah. Man. You gotta, shit's horrible.
Can't so have then that meat in your fridge that long. You can't be frozen Russian in the snow either.
So these,
I mean, the four, Russians are tough, but they ain't that tough.
Yeah.
Plus, well, the meat's tough now. Chewy, if you try and eat it. Yeah.
The, these four were much better dressed than the others. They had various, amounts of clothing on, and there were indications that some of them were much better dressed at the beginning and they shed off layers to give to other people who were less dressed, which feeds into that idea that two of them might've been outside fully dressed and the other two might have ran up to him without much, so they kind of gave him some.
It was
some
all stuff. A prank. No, the like, two guys outside peeing.
Nikolai's dead. I'm gonna take his jacket.
Right. Like,
I think the two guys said, "Hey, let's go pee," and then they shook the shit out of the tent and made bear noises.
And these are the weirdest of the deaths, but we'll get into the deaths later. So those are the three groupings, right? Yep. So those are the dead people. So let's look back at group one, because again, weird shit with the first two that are found. They're the most naked, they're the closest to the camp. And the cedar tree that they're under looks like it had been lit on fire. Mm-hmm. And it looks like all the branches up until about 15 feet up had been snapped and torn off of the tree.
Yeah.
Like either they needed firewood or they crawled up there. Like maybe there's so much snow cover, the only way to get wood was to break branches. But most theorize that they crawled up there for a vantage point. But
maybe
it'd be fucking pitch black.
You can't see anything.
But yeah.
Or to escape something, a bear.
That was one of the things. The sketchy thing is that the forensic tests showed that that traces of skin and fingernails were embedded in the bark, showing that it wasn't just like we're going to climb up to get a vantage point. It was like a panicked, desperate scramble up the tree.
Well, it could also be climbing a tree at -30 fucking
degrees.
Underwear.
Yeah, -30 degrees. You're fucking in a panic scramble to get some wood.
Yep.
Yeah, on a nice fucking summer day, our fat asses would have some trouble climbing the old cedar tree in our socks and underwear. So I bet we skin our leg up.
Yeah, in the snow.
Well, but no, but the coroner like basically indicated that it was more than just we're scramble. Climbing up a tree. It was a mad scramble. Yeah. Their fingers were fucking torn down to the nub. Like it was desperation, not just to climb.
I mean, to me, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, you're in fucking -30
degrees.
You're
fucking panicking.
You're panicking and you're in your socks. Like, Jesus Christ.
The medical examiner who looks at it. So eventually when the bodies get taken down to the nearest town and a couple of medical examiners from different areas thaw the bodies, it said that it took 3 days for the bodies to thaw so they could do the investigation.
That's about on par with hamburger meat.
Yeah, and they smoked them for 12 hours.
Yeah, that's
right. Yeah. That shit was fall off.
Oh, God. It had a smoke ring.
I mean, it fell off.
They missed it with apple juice.
I mean, think about it. The coroner was probably around when Stalin did his mass, like you know, and then he had flashbacks.
Yeah.
Smoked that thing, had a nice smoky texture. Meat was just fall off the bone.
That's really
awful. You could just eat the skin and it was just juicy.
I'm having a hard time because I'm picturing the autopsy photos and it's extra disturbing.
Well, why do you think they were black?
Yeah.
I mean, they were smoked. Yeah.
So the reason
this Russian man,
the thing that's odd, like these are the most sane of the deaths, but the one thing that's odd is that their bodies indicate liver mortis or what they call hypostasis, which means that they died and their blood started pooling. Which happens, but then their bodies had been moved after they were already dead and they were starting to undergo the
oh, weird.
Like, so someone had flipped their bodies over and moved them to where they finally were. Right. They didn't die where they lay, which should have been the case if they died from hypothermia and were just left there.
I mean, you might be just fucking, the group is panicking and you're just beating the fuck out of everyone because you want to get inside like a tauntaun. Like you're going to fucking slice.
Yeah, I would have crawled in somebody's skin. Yeah. I would have literally
skin
cut
suit,
you open.
I'm in my underwear. I'm cutting you open.
I mean, if you die first, Dave, you're big enough. Me and Brent can fit inside
of you. That's true.
That's true. Like we're just hug and just laying there like baby fetus.
If I have a lightsaber, you're going down, man. Yeah.
So the logical explanation, well, I guess there is, it's not all that logical, but
it's
if they died and the other people knew they died, they might have moved their bodies over to the tree and taken their clothes.
Yeah, right.
I would have burned them.
But in the middle of the night, under those freezing conditions, all of the indications are that these three groups were completely separated and didn't know where each other were, or they would have all been in the same group.
This is the problem, too. You don't know if that all happened on the same. Everybody's assuming that this all happened on the same day.
Sure. Well, everybody's assuming that it all happened on the same night because if you were out in those conditions with no clothes on, you weren't surviving till morning.
True. Right?
Like that's the assumption that most people make.
Maybe, but there's cases like we just did the what's that, Travis Walton, who made it in the snow for a week.
He made it in an RV, man, drove back, took payphone.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
True. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
But
Why are you doing the jaws?
Mm-hmm. Those jaws.
Yeah, I just have trouble. I just have trouble with the whole no snow thing. Like, oh, the footprints were there, but there was no footprints from animals.
See, I don't have problems with that for two reasons. A, it's called Dead Mountain, so there's not very many animals on the mountain. And B, I mean, growing up in Michigan, there would be those times where a big snow would fall and it would just be clear sky, ice fucking cold,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the prints don't go anywhere. Like, there's no fresh snow, nothing melts because it's so fucking cold out. So I could see that if the weather conditions were right, the footprints would still be perfectly intact if you got there a week later.
And there are animals there. It's not that there was none. And that's one of the problems I have, because you would have, especially if there were fresh bodies, something's going to get a piece of them.
Sure.
You know, and it's consistent with what animals do.
And it could be that Will Smith is involved.
Maybe.
I mean, he's an actor. He was kind of a child actor. He knows Coleman. He knows Whitaker. He could time travel.
Well,
he's black.
This is the crazy thing, because we have
Fresh Prince.
Did you look at our Coleman sightings page?
Mm-mm.
So around this time, there were multiple Coleman sightings.
Mm.
I mean, we're looking at dozens.
And this is before the camping
from Coleman. In the Siberia area, there were dozens of sightings of small black men wearing white keds. Now,
Keds wasn't even thinking.
Well, no, we all know the time travel. Yeah. We all know the time travel. So it was they didn't know it was Keds. They called them Kavishnovs.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But they're a very small footed black man. And so we've categorized him. He's in the system. We think it was him in the area at this time.
Do you think he could have been, you think he might have like tamed and been riding Russian Yeti with glowing blue balls?
Maybe. And the other thing is we know from the 411.
He carried him in a jar, actually. Actually, for life.
Yeah, and we know he carries them around. Yeah,
like this, like a fucking lamb.
Well, those are like his heart. If you if you crush those, you kill him. Like, that's how you kill him.
You have to kill him.
From what we know,
balls.
Yeah. But the other thing is, though, we know from the 411 stuff that we studied that he likes to take the clothes.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
so
true.
That I mean, and keep
MO.
Them. Yeah, and
it's
keep
in the
them,
wilderness.
Yeah.
This was the first
it's
Gary Coleman
snow.
Sighting on our show, too.
And then you find him folded and everything nicely in the tent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he's very much a clean freak.
It's his MO.
Yeah. So, you know, it's hard to say.
That did just creep me out a little bit, that this completely fits with the missing 411 weird
shit. Very does much.
Like, that is kind of fucking
freaky. Hey, Dave, it very does much.
It very does much.
Yeah.
So the other detail, the final detail about this first group was that Krivoshenko had burns on his face, which again, of course he did. He was near a campfire.
Yeah.
He was the only one there who had burns on his body.
Yeah. He's Russian. They did it for fun.
That's the same guy with the burnt jacket, though. So
I think so. But also, he had bitten off a part of his own knuckle.
Yeah. He was freezing.
Like, it was in his stomach, and he had bitten off a part of his own knuckle. And the experts suspected, like the people on the site, the people doing the autopsy, think that he was biting his knuckle either to out of fear or to suppress a scream because he was trying to stay silent.
That, or he's freezing and he was shivering so bad he probably couldn't like control
stop
himself.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and you probably wouldn't have felt your finger anymore.
Yeah, yeah. It was. So or he's like, hey guys, look, we're freezing to death.
I'm going to eat my knuckle.
Yeah. I'm going to eat my knuckle.
Like, or maybe the guy next to him was like, you know, Yuri, I'll give you my jacket if you eat your knuckle.
Yeah. I mean, the crazy thing is, though, the other guy that he was next to, his dick was found in his stomach.
No.
So, no? That's what I saw. I thought some freaky shit was going on in that tent.
Yeah. It was free. It was a freak tent.
Yeah.
So, okay, group two. So the other group with the three people in it, I just kept reading that they, and I don't know what this means. Maybe you guys saw more. It said that they died in poses suggesting they were attempting to return to the tent.
They were facing the tent.
Yeah.
Like they died like, get me back to the tent. It's smashed.
As if they were crawling towards
the
tent.
It's like, yeah, it's fucking tent's no good. Why are you going back?
So one of them had a crack in his skull, but the coroners did not think it was a fatal wound and it was a fall that had happened before he died.
And there was coconut fibers in his hair.
That's right. They rule the death of these three as being hypothermia. They're the three kind of most natural.
Yeah.
You know, nothing really mysterious. They were out there, light clothes. They were all found frozen to death, crawling back towards.
Well, and one of the things is too, like that I looked up, I was interested in finding out, Brent looked it up too, about about what happens when you go into hypothermia.
Okay.
And one of the things, one of the last stages of hypothermia is you start, it's called the undressing stage.
It's called the, like paradoxical hypothermia.
Undressing. Yeah. Like it's called the undressing stage though. So that you get delirious, you don't know what's going on. You're freezing in, you know, from the outside in.
You get a burning sensation.
You get a burning sensation and you start undressing because you're trying to,
Nature's a fucking bitch. Yeah. Like the symptoms of overhydration are excessive thirst.
Yeah.
And then the symptoms of freezing to death is taking off your fucking clothes.
Yeah.
Well, but someone fucked up, man. There's a glitch in the matrix.
And I fully understand that that's like a symptom of hypothermia, but the weird fucking shit is all their clothes were still orderly back in the tent.
Yeah.
Like they bailed out of the tent.
Well, not all of them. Those ones that were there in the tent were orderly. So like there wasn't a thrashing about in the tent. I guess
that would be to justify the theory that like maybe the fire went out in the tent. They could, and they were all freezing in the fucking tent and started to go mad. Like, cause there's, so, I mean, it's negative 30. It's a fucking tent.
Yeah.
It's a canvas bag with laces.
If we all got grouped up and we're sitting there freezing to death, then you start going crazy.
Right.
Somebody cuts open the tent because they're nuts and they start running for the trees and then fucking you're like, oh fuck, we got to get him.
Open, wind's coming in.
Here, and let's be honest, if the three of us were in a tent together perfectly warm, it wouldn't be long till all the clothes came off.
Oh no. Well, it's going to get real hot in that tent. We don't need a fire at all. I mean, a little bit of whiskey.
Something sticking out of the tent, but it's not a stove pipe.
Yeah. Yeah. We'd be pitching a tent. All right.
Back yogurt.
Yeah. Back yogurt. Dannon's.
Man.
So the group three is the one where I read a lot of weird shit about their death and about their
autopsies. So this is the one they fell in a hole. There was like a hole, right?
Well, they don't think they fell in a hole. They think they intentionally put themselves in this hole because it would have been a natural break against the wind.
That, and that's the last stage of hypothermia.
I read an opposite of that. I read that they they caused a minor avalanche and slid into the bottom of a hill. Yeah, and like when the ground gave through right there, it was just ice and rock, and they could have sustained major impact injuries at that point.
Yeah, because you got to think in the snow there could be a like a breakthrough point where you fall into a fucking hole. A couple sticks were there
that leaves fell on top of, the snow went on top of, and then finally
here comes some people.
Yeah,
here we go.
And that, I mean, that would make some sense because one of the things, according to Dr. Boris Vorshideni, who that did the autopsy, he said that they had sustained internal injuries the equivalent of being hit by a car.
Yeah they said another individual crushed. Could not have inflicted those injuries.
A human being couldn't have inflicted.
It was a sudden impact from a big
and it would make sense because they're all in that pit, like they fell and hit rocks.
Here's the thing though, like so the Soviet coroners in fucking the Ural Mountains in Siberia, where they have to be used to seeing avalanches and deaths like that, ruled it a quote unknown compelling force that killed them, and they didn't rule it was consistent with impact from snowfall or an avalanche, and I think they would have known what to look for that.
Yeah, it was the cause of death was an unknown compelling force which hikers were unable to overcome, which is pretty vague.
They thought that the impacts, from what I read, were too focused. Like they were just on, like in the ribs, or it wasn't like a whole body impact.
You fall on a rock, you fall in a fucking hole, there's a big rock, dude's going to land on his rib, other dude's
going
to his head.
It only takes, I mean, there's a guy in the oil fields who fell off of a trailer that was 5 foot high. He fell off and hit his head and died.
Yeah.
So it doesn't take much.
But a smile
to kill somebody. It's not that it wouldn't have taken more to kill somebody. It's that if they were hit by like a massive avalanche force, there should have been injuries all over their body.
No, it wasn't that it was a massive avalanche. It was like a slide under their feet and they slid through into the hole.
Yeah, they were like,
and landed
woo-hoo,
on rocks.
Woohoo, smashed dead.
Yeah, like they were walking and triggered on the side of the hill.
Yeah.
The snow fell loose and created a mini avalanche that they basically slid and rolled down.
They were riding the avalanche like Kurt Russell and Escape from LA on the wave.
Yeah. Nice.
That's what they were doing.
So Thibaut Brignanel was killed by major skull damage as his cause of death.
Mm-hmm. He was giving head to somebody really hard.
Kolivatov died from hypothermia but had massive skull fractures and a broken nose. The one named Dubnina, and this is an odd one, is found missing her tongue, her eyes, and parts of her lips. And the autopsy indicated that those things were all missing before she died.
Well, that's not necessarily
I read different.
True.
I read that's like some hearsay, actually.
Yeah,
the tongue.
Okay.
Yeah, so the speculated
there was blood. Rumors. So the reason that those start to set up Brynn is that there was blood found in her stomach.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so there's 100 milliliters of a slimy red substance in her stomach, which could be food, bile, yeah, and some blood.
Jello.
But that's red, like more rumors that nut. They said, like, the tongue was found somewhere else, that it was cut out, it was ripped out. It's animal predation. But the actual report, the only thing in regards to that tongue was that the diaphragm of the mouth and tongue is missing. That's yep. it. That's
didn't
the
say line. It was cut. Didn't
that's
say
the
it was
line
ripped,
from the medical
didn't
report.
Didn't say anything. It was just missing. And these are all consistent with, if we look at the Memphis 3, remember the genitals were missing and the eyes and stuff. Like, this is all consistent animal with animal
or
condition.
When you freeze something, you know, it expands. Like, if you froze an apple, if you let the apple thaw, it's going to be a fucking sack of applesauce. So, like, your eye sure. is freezing and then thawing, and then there's water running because of snow melt that they were under there. Their eyes can just run out. It's the softest tissue. The tongue thing, though, that seems more like predation or something. But the actual medical report just says that one line, and it's a lot of people, like, with wives
somebody
tells,
else,
folklore.
Yeah, and somebody else was missing genitals,
for 50
too.
Years.
There was genitals missing.
In this?
Yeah.
Someone missed half a leg or something.
Yeah. Someone was missing. Another one was missing one eye.
Yeah,
so
one
Torov
eye.
Torov was missing an eye. So, and again, another sort of creepy factor, which is to me explained by the hypothermia thing, is that a lot of their clothes were removed from their body and were left underneath the cedar tree or were hanging in cedar branches and weren't being worn.
Yeah.
Which again, if they were,
they thought they were getting
hypothermia,
hot.
Yeah. That might be what they would have been doing. Yeah.
My only issue,
or for that matter, if they had a big ass fucking fire going and
they were trying
shit
to dry
was soaking
them out.
Wet, you might have hung it up soaking wet and stayed next to the fire.
Yeah. And then when the aliens came,
because some of them, again, a thing that some people point out is creepy is a lot of them had their clothes on inside out. But again, that's kind of normal because if your shit got soaking wet and you were by a fire, you might have had the outside dry, flip it inside out so that
or
the other side will dry.
Or you like got undressed in the tent and when you fucking left in a panic, you just picked your pants
scrambled
up and
off.
Put them on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. So what about the radioactivity?
So you can tell your story of the radioactivity, but I have a killer for it.
Yeah.
There's nothing
to
cool. Do. So some of the clothing was discovered was radioactive.
There were three articles.
Three separate articles of clothing were found on two of the bodies that were found to be radioactive. And a lot of people use that to be like, what the fuck? UFOs must have come down and it must be that. However, the normal range for radioactivity when they're testing it is an area of 150 square centimeters should not exceed 5,000 DPM, which stands for disintegrations
dots,
per minute.
Dots per minute.
Dots per minute. Yeah. Yes.
DPI.
It's actually
dots
ink,
per inch.
It's how much ink is from an HP.
These were printed. These clothes were printed.
Mm-hmm. So one of the items printer. Of clothing had 5,000, which is normal. Like that's considered normal from atmospheric radiation.
Anything under. Yeah.
If it just set out in the open, 5,600 on another item, and then one had 9,000. So then people are like, well, why did it have 9,000? That's a fucking lot. Well, it came from Colovato, and I said that like
is he Mexican. Spanish?
Yeah, he's Spanish. He's Colovato, Spanish. Man. It's vato. How am I not going to say that shit? The word vato is in it.
Yeah, but you know, vato
is
a B, right?
He had previously worked at a facility developing nuclear materials.
Yeah.
So
he worked around plutonium.
You can fucking mark that shit off.
Yeah.
That's actually the next. That's
same
the next
case.
Guy.
Same case.
The other guy is Krivonchenko. He worked at a top secret facility for plutonium production in nuclear weapons. And they're the only two people.
And
that
by
had
the way, it's not
him.
Just that he worked in a radioactive facility. He worked in a radioactive facility that went hot in 1957.
He could be hot. Still.
It was the
yeah.
second worst radiological disaster in Russia under Chernobyl was at the Mayak plant, which is where Krivonchenko worked.
So the radioactivity deal.
But it just seems like that poor dumb bastard would have been around Geiger counters at the plant. But then again, that didn't happen in Chernobyl.
He could have just taken them home. Yeah, who knows? Any
they just
one
weren't
day.
Told how much radiation was on shit.
So they were like, no, you're normal. Right. You're normal.
Well, there's the normal reading, and there's also probably an allowance. The allowance doesn't necessarily mean what you find normal. 10,000 could be the allowance for people that work in the factory. They don't give a fuck about those people, you know?
Right.
It could be 20,000 is the allowance, and it's just they're saying in nature,
well,
5,000 is what's normally found.
Yeah, and we don't really know what like is the max where it will hurt you either.
Right.
So it could be 20,000, and 9,000 is
fucking
middle road.
Look at Chernobyl. They're like, you're cool. Don't worry. Go ahead.
Yeah, so and the other guy.
That was way fucking later. So this is back when they don't give a fuck about people.
Right.
Like,
so
no,
Alex, Alexander Kolevatov. Well, sometimes he was in the physics technical department at the UPI, the Polytechnic Institute. But before that, he worked in Moscow in a facility that was simply known as PO Box Number 3394, which is actually, it kind of comes back to us because I forget the name of it. We had a PO box that was the only address for Los Alamos, New Mexico for all the development. So, but that was just the address that was given to it. But he was in the war in 1942 and he ended up working in this facility. So that might explain some of the radiation as well. The radiation gets pretty much ruled off.
That's nothing.
So yeah, the tongue theory, that's probably animal predation.
The problem with the animal predation is that there were no prints or tracks.
They were found. They were dug up under the snow, though.
That's true.
They were under a couple feet of snow.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so. And then the eyes. They said
not true.
Gaping.
Yeah. Well, what's the big deal? Everybody's like, oh, there's no tracks. There's no prints or anything. That's what I don't understand. How were they under the snow, but their tracks were still there?
Because a fox might weigh 12 pounds. They weigh 150.
Yeah. The thing is, the tracks were immediately next to the tent.
The other ones,
and they didn't make it to the cedar tree. Yeah, the tracks didn't make it all.
But the other guys weren't even found. So when the search party got there were still tracks leading to a certain length, you know.
Yeah,
and the other reason there were probably tracks around the tent is these people are experienced outdoors people. They're hikers, they're skiers. They probably picked a tent site that they knew was going to be safe from buffeting wind, that they knew was going to be warmer. So even once you crested a ridge, your footprints, even if there's no snow, they're going to get covered by snow drifts.
And size 4 tracks don't take that much.
That's true. I mean, only weighs 60 pounds.
I could see what, because everyone only says that the tracks were still visible immediately outside of the tent when the search parties got there, because if they left and crossed a ridge or whatever, you're going to reach snow drifts and all the prints are going to be covered up. So by the time the search parties got there, you're only finding prints.
I have an issue with the very experienced thing. These kids were early 20s. Everybody know people in their early 20s are idiots.
They might be camping since they're fucking 8 because they're crazy.
Well, I don't think they were camping so much as they were Russians in the 50s, and what we call camping was called fucking Tuesday.
Yeah.
Like, we're just fucking eating bark and living in a tent, you know.
Normal day.
So that's the deaths. That's the circumstances. And again, the three different clusters are killed under somewhat different circumstances. So one neat and tidy answer doesn't necessarily cover all three of them as neatly and tidily as you would like.
You have all night. And things could have happened, you know what I mean, in sequence. So, hey, fucking these guys, they get smashed. Fuck. The other ones are like, oh, shit, make a fire over here. And then they start losing it. You know, these other two die over here because they want to go back to the tent and get something.
Right.
But one doesn't want to go by themselves. So somebody else goes with them. They die. You know, like there's no time period of who died first. You know what I mean? So you don't know the exact events. You just know that there's three separate groups and they're all dead. You know, so it's a weird, it's kind of hard to speculate. So we have a bunch of people who have theories, UFOs, obviously.
Right. Let's start going through the theories. Like, let me talk through some of the theories and hear what you guys think of the different theories. So the first theory is a CIA/KGB theory, right? Cold War, 1950s.
Yeah.
And people think, and there was a book called Dyatlov Pass written by Alexander Zolotarov. Mm-hmm. It was written by Alexei Rakitin. And it says that Zolotarov and Kolitovov were KGB agents, and they were trying to find CIA agents. And his book argues that the reason the radiation was present is that one techniques that some of the KGB people would use if they found CIA agents, you would place a radioactive item on their body and they could then be traced with Geiger counters in major cities because you've tagged them with radiation. Mm-hmm. So this happened.
Their bodies weren't radioactive. Their clothing was.
Right.
So, and we know their past. So I say nay.
Well, but even on that though, I mean, if it was a CIA KGB scenario, then whatever the radioactive item was probably would have been picked up by the KGB and taken away
and left,
you know, et cetera. So either they were KGB agents looking for CIA.
And I think you have to think this is stuff that was, all this information has been put out by the Russian authorities. So they could have lied about what was what.
What else was there? Yeah. So one of the other pieces of evidence that feeds into this is that, A, like we just said, the thing that gives a logical, plausible deniability for the radiation is another thing that gives you a cause to think they might be KGB agents. They worked for these top secret areas, dealing with nuclear weapons, et cetera.
Or they were CIA.
Or CIA, exactly. Yeah, double agents and or whatever.
Infiltrating.
And KGB was coming after them or whatever. Yeah. But the 38-year-old, the guy... Semyon Zolotarov, he was a veteran from World War II. And when they looked into his background, he wasn't just a veteran. He was hard fucking core. Did you guys look into much about his background?
Yeah, he was. I know he received medals.
He won 4 medals.
Yeah.
For frontline combat.
When the Russians wouldn't actually give people of his heritage medals.
Right.
They look down upon him.
So you have to do some hardcore shit to get one.
Yeah.
The other thing is very few people in the Russian army lived long enough to get more than one medal, much less being an ethnic minority that they don't want to give you medals for. They said that all of the records that they uncovered indicated that he did training in the army for 6 months. And they said that during World War II in 1942, a typical officer got 3 months of training and a typical enlisted man got 3 weeks of training. Yeah. And this motherfucker got 6 months of military training in 1942. He has a tattoo on his body that no one can figure out what it
means. He had a few tattoos.
One of them says the letters DAERMMUAZUAYA, which doesn't mean anything.
It's in Russian Roman numerals.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. That was his birth date.
Okay.
That was on his dick, though, so it was really impressive.
It's really impressive.
You couldn't see the whole message in the snow.
Right. Yeah. Half the alphabet.
You had to warm it up to see
it. That's what they were trying to do. That's what happened.
Other evidence that was odd about this guy is that he was arrested, according to the diaries, he was arrested for drunken conduct, for getting really drunk and singing really loudly as they were traveling towards this location in like a pretty harsh place.
4 of them died while intoxicated too. I don't know if we said that.
No, he didn't say
that.
But this guy got arrested in a city and like within an hour was released. Yeah. And no one could figure out why they let him go as quickly as they did. And it's because he's a war hero or he was a KGB agent or fucking whatever. But he ties in to this KGB mystique because no matter what, even cutting away the conspiracy theory, he was a serious fucking badass from World War II. And part of his service was with a group that was a special engineering brigade. And every mission of this brigade had an 85% mortality rate.
Damn.
And this motherfucker just kept living through fight after fight after fight enough to get 4. So he was a fucking hardcore badass.
Did he have big chops? Did he look like Wolverine a little bit?
Maybe so. He might have been Weapon X.
Yeah.
So this guy was a fucking badass, no doubt about it, which would explain why he might have gone along. And he was the only one who wasn't a college student at the time. But maybe he might have been like, fuck, if you're going there, I'll go there.
Yeah, maybe they knew him and they're like, hey, let's take this guy for protection.
Yeah, let's take that fucking badass.
Yeah.
He was their Chuck Norris.
And then he tried to rape one of the girls.
And then it all went south. But anyway, that's one of the theories is a KGB CIA weirdness going on. And again, they look at their connections to these top secret projects. The fact that that Polytechnical Institute, just like MIT, I mean, if you were looking at students at MIT, odds are 75% of them are working on a top secret American project. I don't know that that means they're in the CIA. They're just working for a project.
They don't even know what they're working on.
Yeah, exactly.
And it could be both. It could just be that could have been part of the mission. He went on some unknown with the other people had nothing to do with that. And he's a plant and then shit still goes wrong.
Right.
UFO still comes down.
He just dies. Yeah. The Yeti with the glowing balls still gets him.
That's true.
Bunch of Chinese pop
on the UFO
trees.
Thing. There were several other hikers, I guess, that had reported balls of light or fireballs in the sky.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I already talked about the balls of light. Yeah. It's those Yetis.
Blue balls of light. Yeah. These were way up in the sky, though. So unless Coleman was chucking his jar up for fun, he brought a wrist rocket. That's how many Yetis he had.
Well, they're like, what are those bugs that glow?
Fireflies.
Like that, but they said that
there were groups of other people 50 kilometers south of the Dyatlov Pass, and they said there were strange orange spheres in the night sky coming from the mountain of
the dead.
They said
some of the indigenous population reported some as well, but they said actually only one of those groups reported it to be on the night of the event, though.
Yeah.
So
and the problem with like UFO sightings is that it's an unidentified flying object.
Sure.
Like, and there's no way to corroborate any stories.
Right. Another big theory is like a hardcore gulag death. There were a lot of Russian prison camps like in this area because it's the middle of fucking nowhere. And a lot of people think either the hikers might have been mistaken for gulag prisoners because the guards would have had orders to just kill them all on site. So it might have just, but it, then again, I doubt that's the case because they weren't filled with bullets. No, like none of that was there.
Yeah.
But again, a lot of people try to point to that, or they try to think that they ran into people who had escaped from a gulag because there were some that were known to live for years in these woods and little makeshift places that they had. But again, they're all fucking like, what, we froze them to death with our gulag powers?
Yeah, and it really like, seems like something happened.
They could have yelled, get out of the fucking tent, send them on their way, and like, that'll do the trick.
Right. Yeah.
You know, they could have. You know, marched them off into the woods knowing they were going to die, so it looked like an accident. It doesn't take much if you're in that environment.
Right. And one piece of
evidence. If you have guns, you didn't have to use them.
One piece of evidence that feeds in allegedly to this gulag death is that they discovered that one of the members had a piece of cloth called an obmotki, which was a distinct piece of cloth made out of a certain material. And it was known to have been given to soldiers during World War II, and that gulag prisoners were given them after World War II because it was a war surplus. So they say this ties into the gulag theory, but it also ties into the fact that fucking super badass Russian Chuck Norris had one in his fucking bag because he was in the war and he fucking gave it to somebody who was freezing to death, or they bought it. I mean, they got it from a fucking parent, or I mean, it's like, that doesn't seem odd to me. That was what Russian soldiers had 15 years before in the war. Right. Why wouldn't
somebody's
someone
dad
have
had
a fucking rucksack?
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's my lucky, whatever it's called.
But apparently it did disappear from evidence lockers, but it was the 1950s in Russia, and some motherfucker was probably cold and was like, sweet, I'm taking that.
Yeah. Achoo. Gunzoon tight.
So other people theorize, for no apparent reason that I could find, that they were killed by Soviet special forces that they stumbled upon. They think they ran into some like Soviet special training and that the spec ops killed them. But again, they didn't kill them with bullets and get rid of their bodies. Like, they froze them to death. Like, that doesn't make any sense. One, did you read about the fucking Santa Claus mushrooms?
I did not.
There was one theory.
Amanita muscaria?
Yeah, there was the Amanita muscaria theory, which is the Mario Brothers looking mushrooms that people in this area of the world would dress like Santa, go out and pick these mushrooms, and then you would take them and trip balls. One thing, I don't know if you mentioned this about these mushrooms.
You have to ingest it and piss it out first.
Yeah, apparently they would apparently it was really toxic, so a lot of people would get fucked up if they took it. So a lot of times reindeer would naturally eat them, so they would drink reindeer piss in order to get high.
That's how they would get it. Yeah,
it was on a Christmas episode.
I didn't remember that episode, but there was a group.
So if you thought the Christmas episode was boring.
Yeah. Like, get
that's
back
what
to
you're missing out
you
on.
You got people drinking reindeer piss.
Yeah.
But they think that the locals, who were called the Monsi, might have been whooped up on mushrooms and fucked them up, or that they themselves might have got
whooped up on mushrooms. They're all whooped up on mushrooms and went out there and killed them young
or
folk.
They themselves might have been whooped up on mushrooms and fucking gone all batshit.
That's
and
true.
Like
they
one
were
of
drunk.
Them.
Actually,
no one said anything about psilocybin.
Actually, though, the
but
two
would
went
they
outside
have tested
to pee.
For that or had the ability?
The two went outside to pee. No? So maybe they went out and pissed it out. Yeah. And then they all cut out the tent because they were pissed off and they wanted some more mushrooms.
Or they were tripping balls and fucking cut out of the tent.
There was no yellow snow that they found.
Right, right. But that was one theory, is that people were tripping balls on Mario mushrooms.
That would make sense. They're like, hey guys, it's sunny outside.
Oh, cool.
Cut open the tent. Let's go.
Did you see the thing about the infrasound storm? There's a thing, and it does exist in the real world, and it's called a Kármán vortex street. There's certain areas in the world where under certain conditions, there's like crazy infrasound structure. And I was fully going to call bullshit on it, but they showed a bunch of pictures on this one website of aerial photographs in the snow. And you can see these crazy fractals in the snow where all of it just kind of made these weird shapes. Like if you see those videos where like a weird sound is happening and you see sand forming,
they're starting to think that could be what's responsible for some of the formations on Mars, that it doesn't necessarily have to be water. There's all kinds of like sonic or magnetic things that can cause those type of drifts.
And they think that if they're strong enough, a Kármán vortex street would actually cause people to panic and fucking freak out. Like it's been known to cause panic. So
Kármán vortex is also a stripper in Russia.
Yeah.
That's her name.
She was there.
Yeah. Carmen just, Vortex.
Yeah. They're street named after. She's so fucking hot.
Yeah. So well, that would make sense because sound can make you do crazy shit. Right. Like it can make you throw up. Yeah. Like, I mean, so that's very influential.
That's one theory that, that people throw to. Again, they talk about the avalanche. One of the people, a different coroner who was looking at the case later, called avalanches in Russia, quote, nature's car crash. Yeah. And they said that the findings are similar to a car crash. But again, the initial autopsies didn't suggest an avalanche, even for the ones that were crushed under a mini lanch or whatever.
Well, they didn't know. Like, that's the thing. Like, you... they can't conclusively state that that's what happened because there wasn't, I mean, it's just who knows.
And there was a big special on Discovery Channel in 2014 that did what they looked at what they called the Menk, M-E-N-K, which are Russian Yetis. Mm-hmm. And they did a whole documentary seeing if the, if Russian Yetis were what killed the people at the pass.
This is the problem. You have the History Channel who's supposed to give you good, solid history and information, and then they give you some bullshit.
Yeah.
And then same thing with Discovery.
Yeah.
Like, they're supposed to be a solid science channel. Yeah. Then they give you some bullshit. Like,
there's some crypto pseudo crazy stuff that comes out on this channel.
Yeah. It's like, it's,
have you seen the one about dragons? I watched that shit for like an hour and I was like, what the fuck?
How many dragons do you know?
They present it as, I was like, wait a minute, is this real? That stupid mermaid one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking mermaid thing.
And like, you know, like, that makes you think like all the shit that they're feeding you is all bullshit. You know, like,
people believe the onions. They're going to believe Discovery. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, that's true. And now there's more sites than the Onion doing that shit. Yeah. So yeah.
So
people believe ABC News. So I mean,
I have CNN, one like the theory that I back, which
I like the stove theory.
That's the stove theory. Yeah. It's the only one. I mean, they have this prototype crazy experimental stove.
Yeah.
It
was homemade. I mean, it's a homemade fucking stove.
There's evidence they used it that night. There's half eaten ham in the tent. There's half eaten bacon.
They would have had to have used it. Right. Yeah. I mean,
they could have cured meats and whatnot.
Fucking cold. Like, they're going to use a stove.
If you have a stove burning, you fall asleep, you wake up and you're just fucking cough. Like if the smoke. Tent is just full of fucking thick ass smoke. You can't see. You panic.
Something happened.
You cut a hole in the tent and bail out of the tent. And then you all just fuck it. Like, I'm next to Brent and I'm following him. And this guy's next to Brad and he's following him.
Like I said, there is the stove went up and across the top of the tent and then came out the side. Now it's windy. It's fucking windy as shit out there. The stove connections.
What you call the side, I call the front.
Well, the front or the back, whatever, the side. Right, yeah. It was just pipe connected. So if that pipe came disconnected, smoke's filling your tent.
Absolutely.
Like, that's what's fucking happening.
Right.
Or if they like stop that at the end of the night to close up so there's no air hole or something, and the fire was just embers, who knows, you know? But I would think they would leave it burning for the night.
Yeah, you'd have
to. The reason I have to go for the stove, though, is because, like I said, there was no account that the tent or anything in the tent was burned, which means the stove contained the fire, but the smoke filled up the tent.
Yeah, and that makes sense.
Well, the big thing is, you guys say, like, why would you leave the fucking tent in negative 30?
In a panic.
There would have to be an internal threat or situation inside the tent. One dude on mushrooms, someone freaking out.
Gary Coleman.
Yeah. Somebody's raping somebody.
Someone's inside the tent. Or you cut your way out.
Yeah, Gary Coleman is known to burrow, so he could have burrowed under.
So
he's like a fucking dig dug status.
Yeah, but if nine people wake up coughing, he's like, full of smoke.
Comes up through the bottom.
Fucking tremors.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, that makes sense. Even if they just cut it to be like, oh shit, get the smoke out, let it come out. It's not going to
happen. Well, they did actually. There was cuts in the roof, like in the very top. It looked like there was like holes cut in the roof from the inside. So that would, you know, you could assume that they were trying to let the smoke out. Right. Oh fuck, that didn't work. We're starting to cough.
Dude, just when you're sitting by a fire smoke. Pit. Yeah, sit by a fire pit and all of a sudden you're in that spot where like, why is the smoke falling?
Cut the door open. Fire. Yeah. And smoke inhalation can cause internal bleeding too.
Yeah, so
people are coughing up blood. They have blood on their lips or they have blood in their stomach because you breathe in enough smoke and that can cause that. So
I mean, I hate to boil down one of the creepiest missing person cases to a faulty stovepipe, but that's,
yeah, if you look at the
system, I mean, if you use Occam's razor and you start looking at it, it's like, it would explain a whole lot of shit. It would explain them running out.
Yeah.
The fact that those two went piss beforehand might explain why those two were the only two that still had clothing. They might've still been outside. Outside.
That shit happened.
And then they followed everybody else. Yeah. Didn't know what the fuck was going on.
When they showed up to the tent, they followed those footsteps. They disappear into the snow. They get to the trees. There's two guys with a fire that have the least amount of clothes on. So those motherfuckers are like, I'm not going any further. We have a fire right here. We're in our underwear. Yeah. The people that were found 75 meters in the opposite direction of the fucking tent were the most clothed. Yeah. And then the other people that were in between that were like, fuck this. We're going back to the tent.
Right.
And started trying to crawl back to the
tent. And I think even logically, like if you look at the panic factor of the cedar tree with all the branches stripped 15 feet up, like
you're freezing.
It's because they need firewood.
Yeah, but you're
like
freezing.
They're in their fucking chonies. They have a fire that they've lit on the fucking branches from this tree. They're I'm on Brent's fucking shoulders, snapping off every branch I can, which reaches about 15 feet.
And I think at that point, we better do that the other way, sir.
Okay, yeah.
I'm getting on your shoulders. Yeah, because if you get on me,
that's the
I'm just
that's
gonna sink in the snow.
No, and the other
Russians
thing is
called
too, like,
the unknown compelling force.
Dave standing on your shoulders. No, but that makes sense. No, I don't think that the guys that got out of the tent to go to the bathroom went very far. Like, you're not going to walk off to go piss. You just basically hop out the tent and piss right there.
Like Dave said, there's no fire in the tent. If it's just smoke in the tent, why do you take off a fucking mile towards some trees? You would sit there and like shake the tent out and try to reset it up and like move the stove out of the tent and get the fuck back in the tent. You wouldn't take off into the woods in your underwear. So
although I like
the logical like Occam's razor of the fire theory, there's still something unknown because you would not all bail out like that and take off.
If you're fucked up, like if that's smoke, you'd be disoriented.
Yeah, but you would step off a ways to get out of the smoke, put your eyes clear, you would start to get some fresh air, and you would go deal with the tent.
Yeah.
Unless it was flaming, and you're like, the tent's fucked.
But it
wasn't flaming. It just had knife holes in it. You know what I mean? You wouldn't take the fuck off.
No, that does add to the mystery. Like,
well, maybe there was a struggle inside the tent where somebody was...
But they all left together calmly.
Kind of.
They all walked. The footprints showed a calm progression of them leaving in orderly fashion.
Maybe.
Together.
Maybe they just had small steps.
The only other thing
I don't know how you could say those were calm walking steps. Let me throw this theory out.
So like, those two guys, the two guys that. Who are fully
the stride
dressed
would be further apart.
Not necessarily.
Two guys who are fully dressed go out to take a piss.
Yep.
They get fucking turned around. They have no idea where the tent is.
I don't think you would go that far.
Maybe they did. Maybe it's fucking pitch black.
I don't know.
This is the problem. We're going off of... If they did some shit like that, they're not experienced. Like, that's the thing. These people, they said they were experienced. Maybe.
If you get out of the car to pee and there's a tree at some random distance, you feel compelled by nature to go piss on the tree.
Except
you don't just pee in the middle of the grass.
Just ask the Bohemian Grove.
Yeah, it's not negative 30. And fucking there's a fucking windstorm at your face.
No, like we climb Mount Whitney. Things. I almost stuck my dick out like the fucking flap. Just like put my dick
exactly.
out.
Exactly. That's what I'm
like,
saying.
I don't
want to
get out.
Far.
It was cold.
I'm going to be holding on to the
pissing
tent.
Pissing in the wind.
And pissing
yeah.
fucking and then getting back in the tent. I'm not walking off. I am not walking off.
Well, here's
off.
My theory. Because these two are dressed.
Yeah.
Fully clothed. What if they did walk off? What if they did get turned around? And what if they lit a fucking fire? So all of a sudden, they're huddled next to a fire in winter clothing, and they're like, fuck, I don't know where the tent is. Meanwhile, the tent gets fucking smoky. Everybody bails outside, and they're like, look,
hey guys,
a fire.
Fire.
And they start walking in an orderly fashion towards that fire, but then...
I'm running, though. That's the thing.
You would think.
I'm running.
I give them credit for starting a fucking fire, though. That's a gangster. That's all fucking
it's gonna
wet.
It's
going to
be wet
from a fucking tree.
From a live tree.
We wanted to make s'mores the other day in my backyard, and I had dry fucking fence boards in my garage that I hatcheted down to little kindling and made the little fucking teepee, and then I had some logs.
Can't make a fire.
It just burns out so fast. Like, I got the logs going, but I was like, God damn, if I was in the fucking woods, I'd be dead.
Fucked.
Yep.
Yeah, I had lighter fluid on my side, too. I fucking put some lighter fluid on.
You don't
want to
go camping with me. I'll kill you.
Yeah. You'll be on my shoulders snapping branches off a cedar.
Yeah, like, Dave will be on your shoulders snapping branches off a cedar.
If my balls touch your neck, there's going to be an unknown compelling force in my pants, man. Yeah, yeah, that you will not overcome.
So. Yeah, he's like, Dave, grab this branch.
Yeah, yeah, keep moving, man. Bounce a little.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm with Brent though. I mean, the logical thing is they get smoked out. They fucking run out there. But
that's why this is hard to say.
It doesn't quite add up.
No, it doesn't add up, and that's why this is one of the biggest mysteries of the 20th. Is it 21st century? 20th century.
So weird. I mean, weird shit with the autopsies. Fucking.
Well, and there was a lot of information withheld too. Apparently, there's more information.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
People have gotten, but I can't trust anything that is not looked at with logic.
Right.
Like, you know, you have these people that are like, oh, we have all this, we have new information, and this means that aliens touched down and the aliens killed them. We have this information. And I'm like, okay, well, you have that information, but you're a fucking wackadoo.
Right.
Using Dave's term.
And
I can't follow it. Like I can't follow it.
And I got all excited because I ran into one article that was all talking about another missing person at the Dyatlov Pass. And I was like, oh fuck, that could like change everything. And then I read the article and like the last paragraph of the article was all, he died in 2014. Yeah. And I'm like, well then go fuck yourself. Like, yeah. Why did you bring this up? Like, who gives a shit? But yeah, so no, I don't know. It's still strange. The three death clusters are bizarre. The splitting up is bizarre. The fucking sprinting from the tent is bizarre.
Brent, you're not fully on the smoke theory.
I think that they wouldn't have bailed from the tent.
So what's your theory then? Like, what do you think?
I know
there's a bunch of unsolved like things and there's a bunch of pieces of that. What do you think though? Like, what?
I think that maybe drunk and panic, four of them were intoxicated. Mm-hmm. They could have been
Somebody was trying to get raped, so cold,
that they had the whole hypothermia craziness factor with mm-hmm. four drunk people.
Yeah. Cause the fire could have went out in the tent, not having any fire at all.
Yeah. And then just filled with smoke. And so then
I'm saying that it might not even have had to have smoke if the fire went out and it's negative 30, it's a fucking tent.
And maybe like, they took off to get firewood to go back and fix the tent.
Yeah, because
in their underwear?
Dude, if it's 20
if the tent's full of smoke and then a couple dudes took off to go get the wood, you know, but they don't come back, they're like, fuck, I'm freezing. The two guys would not go all the way to those fucking trees in their underwear.
It's a mile. You gotta think it's a kilometer. It's almost a mile.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
It's almost a mile. So think about that. In negative 30 degree weather. I don't know. I can go along with the smoke theory, but I think, I don't think you can say what's going through those people's minds.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that's where we're looking at it logically. Like, well, if I was in that situation right now, when we're sitting in a nice room, that's not negative 30, you know what I mean? If it all of a sudden just got negative 30 in here right now, we would probably do some rash shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
I'd take my pants off just because
right away.
Yeah. I'm cutting Dave open and getting inside of him. Like right now.
I was going to get inside of him a different way.
Yeah. There's a machete. Yeah.
I have to say, if I'm just applying logic, if I'm looking scientifically and I'm applying logic to this situation, I think they got smoked out. They cut out the tent. Mm-hmm. They stepped outside. They saw the hypnotic glowing blue of Russian Yeti balls.
Yes.
They moved towards it, hoping it was solid.
Like you do.
And then Russian Yetis who had their balls hidden jumped out and bashed them up and crushed them and killed them.
That makes sense.
And ate their tongues and eyes.
That makes sense.
It's the only thing that makes logical sense.
Time for sponsors.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah. I mean, you close it down. I'm on board. I'm on board. But the only thing we didn't solve is, did the Russian Eddies have pants on or not?
Well, the ones that were hiding their blue balls did, but the one that was out there luring them with his balls,
he was naked.
You know, the crazier mystery is, where did the Patreon list go? I don't fucking know, man. I've been looking for it all episode, but it ain't here. I got lots of papers. I don't have that one. But there's not a ton, so it'll happen next episode.
Not a ton. You motherfuckers better step it up.
Yeah. What do you mean there wasn't enough?
Did you want me to read this?
I was going to just let you do it so I wasn't Mr. Read Everything. I was going to do a quick shout out for some of our podcast family. Mixed Feelings Podcast is braver than us, and they're doing some live shows.
Not braver than us, braver than you.
Well, they're coming all the way from fucking Florida. Are we doing a live?
None of them can even speak over there. Like, hey, I'm going to watch a podcast.
They're all orange juice.
In the woods.
Orange
Look
juice.
Look at that crocodile. That's not the whitest crocodile I've ever seen.
Gator orange
juice. Gator orange. What the orange juice?
How to Gator, George Bush.
How to speak Florida.
Jed Bush.
Floridian. Mm-hmm. Mixed Feelings Podcast is going to be in Austin, Texas at the New Movement Theater. That's April 1st at 7 p.m. And you can buy tickets. I think you can buy tickets Austin, on their Texas. Website. Austin, Texas. Yeah, on April 1st. And then they're having another show, which this one's impressive. They're doing it at the Nerdist Showroom. Which is kind of impressive because that's
I'm not impressed by any of the
Brad
Nerdist
is not
podcasts.
Impressed at all, yeah.
not by that. I'm just not impressed by any of the Nerdist podcasts. No. Like they're just I don't know.
That's kind of cool. But Mixed Feelings is going to be there on April 4th at 7 p.m. at the Nerdist Showroom, and that's on Sunset Boulevard. April 4th, 7 p.m. So also tickets at mixedfeelingspodcast.com.
Austin or L.A. area during those times, go check them out.
Yep. Yeah, and then you can tell.
Yeah, and so also check out Primal FC. We are actually
a proud sponsor.
Yeah, proud sponsor, grouped up with them. You can, when's the event? You have it on here?
Yep.
So Friday, March 24th this year, if you're in Phuket, Thailand, you can check out, you know, get a ticket, go see the show live. There's going to be a party afterwards. Looks pretty crazy. The video looks fun. Yeah. Like I'm sad we have to miss it. But it's on Paradise Beach. Looks like a beautiful place. I'm sure we'll visit sometime. If you're in Australia, I know we have some Australia fans. It's going to be at 10 PM Aussie time, 11 AM UK time. And then 4 a.m. Pacific U.S. time. So East Coast, Central Coast, you guys can suck it. 6 o'clock p.m. Thailand time. You can watch the event live in HD quality on MikeSwick.com. You can follow them on Twitter at Primal FC. Follow them on Instagram at Primal Fighting. And go to their Facebook page and give them a like at Primal FC. So they're just starting out. It's going to be their first event. I'm sure it's going to be good. The card looks good.
Should be dope.
Yeah, I mean, regardless, if you're into MMA, I'm sure. I mean, it's free. So what do you have to lose besides getting up a little early? So quit bitching.
Where you're at. And then we need to thank our sponsors. Thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce. You can go to their website and save some money buying hot sauce by using code SOFAKING. They're available at most major grocery chains, Walmart, Target, and the Mexican market. Thank you to
the Mexican market.
The Mexican market. That's an actual place. Yeah.
The Mexican market.
Yeah. I've been there.
Yeah.
I got video of it, man. It's fucking crazy. It sounds generic, but
it's the Mexico market in Mexico, actually. Mm-hmm. That's what it's called.
There's only one.
There's only one.
Yeah.
There can be only one.
It's the Highlander Mexican market.
There can be
market.
Only one.
Yeah. Thank you to printdirtcheap.com. There can be only one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, so nice. I didn't interrupt Brad at all, man. You guys just got to do it. It's fine. I'm climbing a mountain, man.
It's normal. We can't.
Brent's pass. Yeah. I know, man.
It was new for me to speak. So
yeah,
it was, you know.
All right. So
a sponsor.
Thank you, Print Dirt Cheap. You can save money if you need anything printed. That's where to go. And you can use code SOFAKING there as well. Thank you to DeLeon Graphics. If you need any type of screen printing, you need koozies or t-shirts, he can do that. You can contact him on Facebook. It's DeLeon Graphics with an X. Go there and like his Facebook. And that goes for the other sponsors as well. If you can go like or comment so that they know you heard about us.
Matter of fact, go to our Facebook and like it, bitches.
Hey, we're about to finally break 3,000 on Facebook. That's a mountain to climb on Facebook.
Facebook is
thousands on Instagram. Facebook. Yeah, Facebook is rough. Thank you to Digital Creations for our coffee mugs. You can like their Facebook. It's I think it's digital.creations Bakersfield on Instagram and Digital Creations on Facebook. And then last but not least, thank you to Dan Camarillo Jiu-Jitsu. So you can visit armhunter.com for apparel and instructional
DVDs. Get a snazzy gi, some booty shorts, and a armbar DVD.
That is correct.
You can armbar your girlfriend.
And then also
boyfriend.
We do have a Patreon and we have a website. We have lots of stuff you can buy and you can also support us by going to the Patreon.
We talked about doing a sale. We can do a sale.
As soon as we have new designs and we're ready to go.
I don't care. I just want to get rid of everything. Nobody's buying anything.
We should be out of stock. No, dude, we got a ton of orders last week. Thank you, actually, for all those orders. There's an order right now I have to fill. I just saw it. So thank you. I don't have the name, but thank you.
Mm-hmm. Billy Jenkins. Thank you.
And we sent out shit tons of Patreon shirts. I probably sent out 30 shirts the last couple days.
Patreon, the back end on Patreon, we apologize on some of this stuff. It's not our fault if you're getting lost in the cracks.
I've got that one fixed. And then give us some time, too. If your Patreon hasn't cleared yet, we're not just sending you a shirt if we haven't got 10 bucks or something.
And the management, the patron management on the back end of Patreon it sucks.
Yeah. If you signed up in the middle of the month, you got to wait till the first, you got to let it clear. We got to make sure certain checks and balances happen. And it's hard. They're print to order, that shirt. We don't stock those things. We don't have back stock. When you say I have a large, I'm making a fucking large for you.
Yeah.
Like we're putting that order in and getting that shirt for you. We don't stock them because the only way you can get it is Patreon.
Yeah.
We don't
sell them. So if you have, if you're on there and you have paid Patreon, like they've charged you and you wait a little while and you haven't received anything, you go ahead and hit us up and, you know, just make sure that we have you down, because there have been a few people that have basically slipped through the cracks. Like there's,
check your,
they didn't show up the way that they do. The management is horrible. So
and I have a message. I have some messages out there. I have not got responses on some sizes still. So check your box. Cause there might be,
I should get an email on that. Yeah. So make sure you're messaging us back, or else if we don't have your size, we're not going to send it to you. So,
and I don't know if Brent said it on the show, but I know that he's promised that he touches his privates on all the Patreon shirts before he mails them.
It's an unspoken thing.
It depends.
Yeah.
He looks, if you're a cute guy,
and
it's
definitely whatever you consider private, man.
Yeah, different definitions of private.
I wear a glove on my left hand all the time because I'm like, I'm kind of self-conscious about my left hand, you know. So it's private. It's a private matter. So I take take the glove off when I pack the envelopes.
Your Patreon shirt is rubbing up against them.
Yeah,
yeah.
And my wiener touches it too.
Yes,
we're really
Yeah. That's not private, though. I mean, come on.
That's public. I hide my hand.
That's goddamn near community property.
Brent calls him his Publix.
Yeah. When he's at the park, watch out. Just hide your kids if you don't want them to see that stuff.
Yeah. Or warn me. Make sure there's no cops around. I'll totally show you, man. It's fine.
Make sure. Get him in a sting. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a fucking scandal.
He's got two Viking beards.
Yeah.
I pee on a tree for a real long time, man. I pinch it off, and I just wait for an unsuspecting looker.
Smokey the bums out there.
Yeah. I show them. I don't care.
Yeah. I know you will.
What else do we got?
I think that's it.
I think that is it. Oh, I got, and there's some cool Patreon stuff coming for the 20 and above. That is on its way.
Yep.
And actually, I'm working on for 10 something.
And above,
No, 20 and above. And then and above, 10 and above, I do have a separate project that I'm working on. That, and remind me when you get upstairs because I need you to do something.
I'll forget.
For me.
No. I'm forgetting.
All right.
All right. Don't be retired.
Воды неделю нет уже, света тоже ужас, куда идти, походу в ЖЭК. Ладно, разберусь сейчас, соседа на этаже выловил, тот сказал, там опечатано, мол, был у них и теперь делать что-то надо нам.
Надо нам найти причину наших бед, почему свет отключили за водой вслед. Лично я сейчас пойду искать их кабинет. Но вот только лифта, что-то долго нет.
Ну вот дозвонись, казалось бы, я бы их доконал. Но молчит энергосбой, ты водоканал. Может уже надо нам бить в колокола и за стенами Кремля найти того якобы.
Атаковать, а кого? В Кремле тоже темно. Вышел тип, закрыл ворота на замок, прям кино. Мы к нему, мол, мужик, спасай, распутай эту нить. А он такой, вам не сюда, решают все они.
В городе живет человек, знает все, что есть и чего нет. От всех бед защищенный гипсокартоном. В городе живет человек, знает все, что есть и чего нет. От всех бед защищенный гипсокартоном.
Куда ты позвонишь, когда кругом выключат свет? Где наберешь воды, когда ее из крана нет? Как ты согреешься зимой на восьмом этаже? Что будешь есть, когда не будет чего есть уже? Куда ты побежишь, когда все побегут бегом? Что стоит твое барахло, когда голод кругом? Как ты проедешь на своем моторе напролом? Что скажешь мародерам ты, когда войдут в твой дом? Как ты укроешься, когда город накроет чумой? Где ты пристроишься, когда каждый второй больной? Что будешь делать ты, когда погромы станут войной? Как выживешь один за городом в лесу зимой?
В городе живет человек, знает все, что есть и чего нет. От всех бед защищенный гипсокартоном. В городе живет человек, знает все, что есть и чего нет. От всех бед защищенный гипсокартоном.
Они там разберутся, у них все под контролем. Я бы сделал все иначе, будь моя воля. Но они лучше знают, те, кто заведует. Вот пусть и разбираются, до этого мне дела нет. Им бы надо тут задуматься вообще-то. А то устроили тут черти че, что-то с чем-то. Не собираться же со всего двора жильцам. Кто лучше разбирается, я пусть и разбираются. Они там что вообще? Пообнаглели? Кому-то надо просто настучать по голове им. Им, конечно, виднее, кто я, а кто они. И то не справляются, ведь посуди, они это кто? Они это те, кто наверху. Вот они же пусть и управляются с теми, кто ниже. Ведь я же вижу, но я ж не буду туда лезть. Там и без меня позаботиться кому есть. В городе живет человек, знает все, что есть и чего нет. От всех бед защищенный гипсокартоном. В городе живет человек, знает все, что есть и чего нет. От всех бед защищенный гипсокартоном.